Chapter 2. Rubble and impact craters had made the wall scalable, but the damned self-repair mechanisms were already remaking what the artillery had put asunder. From previous attempts at storming the citadel, Kroger knew the wall would be flat and featureless in moments, so wasted no time in hurling himself onto the nearest hideously organic wound at the base of its structure. Instantly, he felt his weight increase, his limbs become leaden, and his armour exert an almost insurmountable attraction to the ground. Graviton generators buried beneath the wall were warping the local gravity field, making even the smallest movements an immense effort. Kroger roared and pressed himself to the wall, hauling his body upwards with a combination of brute strength and fury. The generator's fields could only reach a few metres from the ground, and with every hauling movement up the textured wall, he felt their grip on him loosening. Behind his faceplate, he grinned as he felt his natural weight restored and sprang up to the next handhold. Behind him, 300 warriors of Lord Harker's 23rd Grand Battalion knelt in covering positions or set up heavy weapons. Only a very few had the strength to overcome the graviton generators, and these were the bloodiest, meanest, and most devoted of the Warsmith's killers. And of those men, Kroger was the bloodiest, meanest, and most devoted. Servitor-crewed weapon turrets emerged from armoured blast shutters midway up the sloped wall and swept the ground with a mixture of heavy shell cannons and lighter infantry colours. Explosions marched along the base of the wall as weapons and ammo caches exploded. Defenders at the ramparts poured their own fire down the face of the wall where the turrets could not reach. Lord Harker's artillery had ceased firing, wary of inflicting friendly casualties. But the Imperial Fists had no such concerns. Plunging fire was pounding with earth-shattering force on the rock, and the warriors clinging to the wall, wreathing the summit of the mountains in acrid smoke, flames and air-bursting shrapnel. Kroger heard the long bray of an autocannon, its shells raking left and right wherever iron warriors clustered in groups of three or four. A long-barrelled melter lance immolated a cluster of boulders with an ear-splitting screech of burned air, and individual blasts of las cannon fire hailed down like neon comets as they stabbed from narrow-gauge focusing muzzles. Karma went down, his chest a fused ruin of exposed bone where his innards had instantaneously cooked to superheated vapour, and Tumac was cut in two by a sawing blast of shellfire. Ulgolan was hurled to the ground by a sudden growth of silicate stone that pummeled him from his climb. Another extrusion burst from a repairing gash in the wall, a barbed skewer that impaled Purdox like a corpse on a gibbet. An overhang grew above Straber, forcing him into the sheeting fire of a las cannon that sliced him in two. Others fell, warriors whose names he didn't care to know, and never would. Anger doused him at the thought of a single company of Imperial Fists and a few thousand mortal soldiers keeping them out, and he pressed himself to the wall as the storm of fire from above intensified. This was always the bloodiest part in any assault, the moment where the true worth of a warrior was measured, the last 50 meters in the open. A commander could have all the planet-killing weapons at his disposal, the most sophisticated fortress, the most advanced countermeasures, but he still needed men of flesh and blood to cross that last scrap of open ground to get to grips with the enemy. Warsmiths like Forex and Toramino viewed this stage of a battle with distaste, as an unpleasant necessity within the gracefully choreographed sophistication of fire plans, bombardment schedules, approach saps, parallels, and line upon line of perfectly angled siege works. Warsmith Harker was an Olympian of the old ways, a warrior who knew the value of occasionally strengthening the mettle of his subordinates by plunging them into the fire and beating them upon the anvil of war. Kroger had little taste for the logistical mechanics of a siege, though he was competent enough in their execution. Better to let others do the digging, the planning, and the building. His home was in the thick of battle, where boldness was a virtue and fury a killing edge. Warriors emerge from the hellstorm of explosions and scything fragments, searching for handholds beside him. They followed his example, knowing that where Kroger led, the blood of the enemy was sure to flow. Fire and noise burst around him as he climbed higher, and grenade dumpers ejected their payloads in tumbling cascades, but the enemy was running low on explosive ordnance, and there were too few to do any real harm. Shrapnel whickered through the ranks of the Iron Warriors, but encased within layers of ceramite warplate, only a handful were blooded. Vanuk climbed next to him, his burnished armour pitted with small arms impacts, and his helmet scored with heat burns. He had his bolter in one hand and loosed a short burst of fire. A scream and a torn-up body fell from the wall.
"First blood to me," grunted Vanuk.
Kroger's bolter was still maglocked to his thigh and would likely stay there until he reached the rampart above.
"Who cares about first blood?" said Kroger, "so long as there's blood."
Vanuk paused to take aim at another target, but Kroger felt the wall beneath him tremble with substrate activity and punched his fist into a crack in the wall. He spread the fingers of his gauntlet to support his weight and swung out to grip a handhold over to his left as the wall ripped open in a leering slice like the maw of an ambush predator. Vanuk barely had time to scream before he was swallowed. Oozing tendrils of liquid rock webbed the gap in an instant, drawing the seams of the wall closed again.
"Idiot," was all Kroger had to say on Vanuk's demise, and pushed himself onwards.
He climbed with random leaps and surging effort, evading spikes of glistening rock and hails of gunfire with a mix of skill and luck. A turret slid down the wall in flames, where he had been climbing only a moment before. The mangled wreckage trailed its cybernetic crewmen on ropes of cabling before slamming into the rock below. Its armoured panels tore open as it exploded. Flames belched and corkscrewing contrails ripped in all directions as its shell hopper cooked off. A shell burst hit the wall next to him, and Kroger flinched as the impact caused his visor to darken momentarily. He looked up to see a long line of frightened faces looking down at him and grinned. They feared him, and they were right to.
"Death is coming for you," he yelled at them. "This iron without will soon be iron within."
Sporadic blasts of fire beat on his armour, a mixture of lasfire and solid rounds. The shots spanked from his pauldrons, but didn't penetrate. Kroger reached down and freed his bolter from his thigh. He swung the weapon to bear and squeezed off a three-round burst of shells. One man's head simply vanished, the impact trauma enough to tear his skull from his spine. Another soldier exploded from the chest up as Kroger's round detected enough mass to trigger the warhead's detonation. The third man fell back screaming, his face torn up by bone shrapnel from the dead men beside him. It was wasteful to expend mass reactives on mortals, but the sheer mess it made of their fragile bodies was too satisfying to ignore. Clamping his bolter back to his thigh, Kroger hauled himself up, hand over hand, grinning beneath his iron visor as he saw the chewed-up battlements within reach. The wall's integral defences were dead here, and now there was nothing to stop him. He took hold of a twisted length of protruding rebar and hauled himself up, rolling over the broken tooth remains of the wall. Shell fragments were embedded in the stone, and even as he dropped to the rampart, he had his bolter unclamped again and was searching for targets. Only two Iron Warriors came over the wall with him, Vortrax and Ushtur from the patterns on their helms and shoulder guards. Kroger saw an Imperial Fists warrior turn towards them, a captain by the look of him. His face registered surprise, and he shouted a warning to another two fists squatting in the midst of a company strength of frightened mortals.
"No helmet!" hissed Kroger, aiming and firing in one fluid motion. "Stupid!"
The captain went down, but Kroger was irritated to see that his shot had merely grazed him. The other Imperial Fists rose to his defence, moving apart and firing at their attackers. The mortal soldiers loosed panic shots at random. Vortrax fell back against the ruined wall, his breastplate hammered by concentrated bolter fire. Spasming detonations and a crack of mashed bones told Kroger he had been pulped inside his armor. Ushtar traded shots with the fists, but these warriors were too cool under fire to be caught out by such undisciplined salvos. Kroger took his time and pulled his gun hard into his shoulder. He sighted on the leftmost of the Imperial fists and put two carefully placed shots through his helm. The warrior dropped instantly, the back of his head a hollowed-out shell of dripping brain matter and scorched bone. Where the mortal soldiers had turned their attention to the fighting on the ramparts, two iron warriors gained the wall. Bolter fire hammered the mortal soldiers, ripping arms from shoulders, torsos from legs like bodies caught in the flailing blades of a threshing machine. Their screams were pitiful, and Kroger took little satisfaction in their meaningless deaths. The fists were the true prize here. The fallen captain rose with a bared sword that blazed with golden light as he leapt towards the two iron warriors. First one, then the second died, carved up with powerful strokes aimed at the weakest points of their armour. The captain kicked them from the wall and turned to face Kroger. "Come at me and die, traitors!" he yelled, his face a mask of blood from where Kroger's shot had torn a finger-deep furrow in his skull. Kroger shook his head and shot him twice in the chest. Beside him, Ushta collapsed, his armour blown outwards by the force of shell detonations. Kroger ignored the dying warrior's grunts of pain and loped towards the Imperial fist who'd killed him. Another warrior without a helm. Did Dawn's weakling sons want their heads blown off? The fist backed away, ejecting his bolter's magazine and slamming home a fresh clip. "Nowhere to run," said Kroger. "I'm not running," answered the Imperial fist. "I'm waiting." Despite himself, Kroger's curiosity was aroused.
"Waiting for what?"
"For them," said the fist. Hammering impact spun Kroger round, and he felt the pain of lacerating wounds punched in his side. He dropped to one knee, seeing at least two dozen Imperial fists charging towards him. They fired from the hip, but suffered no loss in accuracy. Two more shells struck him before he could scramble to cover, one in the shoulder, one in the centre of his chest. Warning icons flashed to life on his visor, and he coughed a wad of blood through the vox grill of his helmet. Kroger fought to get off a last volley, but his arm hung uselessly at his side, and his bolter lay in pieces before him. He hadn't even realized he'd lost the weapon. He looked over the edge of the wall, seeing only a handful of iron warriors clambering towards the rampart. Hundreds of mortal soldiers opposed them with explosives and massed fire. There would be no help from that quarter for now. How demeaning to be kept out of a fortress by such dross! Kroger stared down at the dark blood pooling in front of him, its bright gleam and iron tang curiously pleasant even as it leaked from his numerous wounds. A cold shadow fell across the bloodied ramparts, and a roaring blast of jet-hot air blasted downwards from screaming retros. Kroger's spilled blood boiled in the heat, and mortals screamed as their uniforms erupted in flames. The Imperial fist with whom he traded words fell as the ammunition in his bolter exploded and transformed his wrists into charred stumps of flesh and nubs of fused bone. Something fell from the sky, monstrous and cold. It landed in the heart of the citadel with the booming clang of a funeral bell. The Olympian master of battle, a demigod in burnished warplate, a hammer-wielding avatar of thunder. Perturabo, the Lord of Iron. With the arrival of the Primarch, the battle was over. The outcome of the siege, never in doubt, was finally decided by his indomitable presence. Perturabo came to rest on bended knee, one arm angled before him as though swearing homage to an unseen master, the other extended from his body. In the outstretched hand, he held a hammer,
the length of a mortal man, its haft fashioned from an alloy that was as unbreakable as it was unknown, patterned like marble, veined with lightning, and capped by an amber pommel stone set with a slitted eye of jet. The head of the hammer was steel and gold, its rear razor-spiked, the killing face flat and murderous. This gift from the War Master himself was no hammer for smithing, no tool of the forge, and no symbol of unity. Forge-breaker was a killing weapon, an instrument of death, and nothing more. A mantle of interlocking steel leaves draped from Pertirabo's broad shoulders like the hide of some great silver-scaled dragon, and the Primarch's raised gorget threw a ruddy light across his chiselled features. Eyes of the coldest blue, like ice-burned steel, glittered in the half-light of the day, and his scalp was shaven bare, pierced and threaded with dreadlocks of tightly wound cabling. The Imperial fists who come to kill Kroger, seeing this most sublime chance to wreak harm on the personification of their hate, ignored his blood-racked frame and took the only chance they would ever get to attack an enemy Primarch. Kroger had marched with his legion since the great muster at the columned glory of the Tyrant's Palace, but he could count on one hand the times he had been privileged to witness his Primarch make war. Each time had been from a distance, and always it had been war made at range. This marked the first time he had seen the Lord of Iron kill in person. It was a moment he would never forget. Pertirabo slew the first Imperial fist before Kroger was even aware he'd moved, spinning on his heel and letting the hammer slip through his grasp until he was holding it at its farthest extension. The killing face struck the first warrior, obliterating him in an explosion of meat and bone and shattered plate. Perturabo's silver cloak sliced out its razor-edged scales, cutting through the armour of a second warrior, and leaving his shorn halves bisected so cleanly that it looked to Kroger as though they could be put back together without effort. A third warrior managed to reach striking distance, but never got the chance to even raise his weapon. The Lord of Iron extended his right fist, and a storm of lightning shot muzzle flare stabbed through the Imperial fist. A dozen or more shells detonated virtually simultaneously, tearing him apart as surely as if a demolition charge had exploded within his chest cavity. What little flesh and blood remained of Dawn's warrior fell to the ground in a sticky red rain. And then the iron circle slammed down around Pertirabo. Six hulking figures in heavy plates of gleaming iron and gold, each one breaking the ground apart with the force of an artillery strike. They straightened with a whine of pneumatics and a flicker of target acquisition protocols. The colossus battle robots formed up on Pertirabo, raising heavy siege hammers and monstrously oversized storm shields as their combat wetware took the measure of the foes arrayed before their master. Gunfire streaked towards Pertirabo, but the iron circle braced themselves in an impregnable shield wall of iron, each shot deflected or ablated. The shields parted, and Pertirabo charged into the mass of Imperial fists, his hammer looping around his body in deadly arcs, smashing armour, breaking bodies, crushing skulls, lopping limbs, and ending lives. The iron circle advanced at his side, their siege hammers hurling shattered bodies from the walls with the force of their swings. They bludgeoned enemy warriors into the stonework, protecting Pertirabo's flanks as Forgebreaker battered the fists into boneless pieces and his gauntlet-mounted bolters tore the remains to shreds. Death surrounded the Lord of Iron, and he was its messenger. Kroger forced air into his lungs in short, awed breaths as the last Imperial fist died. Forgebreaker smashed into the stone of the rampart, gouging a crater like the aftermath of a high-explosive bunker killer. Powdered rock dust billowed around Pertirabo, settling on the plates of his armour like flakes of wind-blown snow. Almost 30 Space Marines dead,
in the span of 5 heartbeats. The blood leaking from Kroger's ravaged body was already sluggish, his flesh hot to the touch with the healing mechanisms of his post-human biology. He pushed himself to one knee and bowed his head as he felt Perturabo's gaze turn his way. Heavy footfalls approached, and the sticky edge of the Primarch's hammer touched the underside of his helmet. Gentle pressure lifted Kroger's head, and he looked up into his Primarch's eyes, the black, oversized pupils reflecting the crimson light of his gorget. Kroger trembled beneath Perturabo's gaze, but it seemed the Primarch's wrath had been spent on the Imperial fists.
"Remove your helmet," commanded the Primarch, his voice like glaciers grinding together.
Kroger nodded and reached up with his good arm, undoing the seal on one side. It wasn't easy to undo the other, but the catch eventually released with a hiss of pressure equalization. He lifted his helmet clear, blinking as he adjusted to seeing the world without the filtering effects of his enhanced optics. The air here was warm and heavy with dust, scented with a metallic tint of the ferrous deposits beneath the surface and the sheer amount of blood spilled over the stone of the citadel's ramparts. A halo danced around Perturabo's head. Motes of dust and powdered stone caught in the ionizing energies of his cranial interfaces. His features were pale and waxen, bleached of color after months of seclusion, but the low sun was already triggering melanin production and imparting a leathery texture to his skin.
"You are Kroger, aren't you?" said Perturabo.
For a terrifying moment, Kroger couldn't think of his own name, but the Primarch's question was purely rhetorical.
"I remember you from Istvan," continued Perturabo,
speaking as though each word was begrudged.
"You're one of Harker's brawlers, an attack dog with a taste for blood."
Kroger didn't know if that was praise or censure, and kept silent as Perturabo turned away, surveying the human wreckage of the bastion. The iron circle moved in perfect unison with the Primarch, their shields held at their sides and their hammers hissing as spilled blood burned in the energy field surrounding them. Each automaton bore the heraldry of a legion warrior, and their cold machine hearts were as loyal as it was possible to be. Perturabo had formed the Iron Circle in the wake of the attack on the Iron Blood, a self-sustaining unit of implacable killers, devoted servants, and incorruptible Praetorians all in one. Kroger winced as his injured arm flared with pain, and he curled his fingers into a fist. He heard the sounds of marching feet, bolter fire, iron on stone, and the whine of aircraft engines from all directions. Clearly there was still some resistance left within the walls of the citadel, but the heart of it had been ripped out by Perturabo's unexpected appearance. Kroger turned his face to the sky, seeing a circling stormbird with its rear assault ramp lowered. It gleamed silver steel, gold and black, its flanks buttressed and armed with racks of missiles and multiple sponson banks of heavy bolters. This was Perturabo's latest transport, a heavy assault lander capable of carrying the Iron Circle while making an attack run into a hot landing zone with a high probability of making it out again. Where his brother Primarchs liked to embellish their personal flyers with ornamentation and heroic names, Perturabo indulged in no such displays of ego vanity. Such craft were for battle, and as one was destroyed, another would be built.
"Where is your warsmith?"
asked Perturabo, dragging Kroger's thoughts back to earth. Kroger spat a mouthful of blood-gummed dust before answering.
"Triarch Harker is with the guns, my lord. I expect he is on his way here now."
"No doubt,"
answered Perturabo, looking closely at him as though seeing him for the first time.
"You alone survived to reach the rampart?"
"Yes," agreed Kroger, seeing no need to mention Vortrax and Ushtar. If there was glory to be had, where was the sense in spreading it around?
"Stand,"
said Perturabo. Kroger obeyed instantly, his body protesting at the interruption of its healing cycles. Perturabo regarded him strangely, as though searching for something he couldn't name, but which he sensed was there, hiding just out of sight like a seed in fertile soil, nourished though not yet ready to bloom.
"Interesting," he said, leaving Kroger to wonder what he meant.
Kroger heard scaling ladders slamming against the walls and the screech of pneumatic lifters. Whatever protocols had empowered the defences appeared to have run their course with the death of the Imperial Fists, and it wasn't long before iron warriors were clambering over the shot-blasted ramparts as victors instead of attackers. A number of lightweight thunderhawks screamed down to the hard pan of the interior precincts of the citadel as though making a combat drop. Assault ramp slammed down, and the bulky forms of numerous iron warriors, warsmiths, emerged. Kroger averted his eyes as he saw warsmith Harker marching towards him alongside Lord Forex. Harker's fellow triarch went bareheaded, and his vulcanized cowl was pulled back over his shaven scalp. Ribbed neural connectors lay flat across his skull like the woven braids of a feral world savage. Emerging from the same Thunderhawk as Lord Forex came the towering figure of Warsmith Falk. Though his armour was superficially identical to that worn by Forex, he was half a head taller, his physique the greatest among the Iron Warriors. Last to emerge from his flyer was Toramino, master of the Storbizashk. Where the other warsmiths favoured the bulky protection of cataphracti armour, Toramino was clad in a suit of burnished Mark IV Maximus plate. And where his fellow warriors were grimy and coated with a pattern of this valley's omnipresent red dust, Toramino's armour was polished to a mirror finish, as though freshly unveiled by its creator in the Martian forges. A cloak of black mail cascaded from his shoulders like an oil spill, contrasting with the stark white of his braided hair. The warsmiths approached their primarch with a degree of caution, for it was said that his humours had become ever more volatile and unforgiving of late. The rumours of how warsmith Barossus had come by his horrifying injuries were still rife, and Kroger didn't envy them their exalted rank. The warsmiths arranged themselves before the Primarch, each dropping to one knee and hammering their right fist into their left palm. "From iron cometh strength," they said. Perturabo stood Forgebreaker's pommel on the broken stone of the ground, leaning forwards to rest his arms on its wide head. The gesture was intended to look relaxed, but Kroger saw the simmering tension in the Primarch's body like a taut cable at the very limit of its tensile strength. "Yes," he decided, "better a foot soldier than a leader." Forex was not fooled by the apparent ease of their Primarch. Though it had been many weeks since he had last laid eyes on Perturabo, he saw through the crack in the presented facade to the angry core within. Their lord was not a warrior who dealt with his subordinates with the easy familiarity some of the Primarchs were said to enjoy. He glanced over at Harker, his fellow Triac's sycophantic features brimming with pride. The Cadmean Citadel had fallen, and it appeared that Harker's Grand Battalion had been the one to finally break the Imperial Fist's defences. Harker's thoughts would be turning to the honour that must surely accompany such an achievement, but Forex saw this moment through a different lens. Since Istvan, Perturabo had become a giant of terrible rages and spontaneous violence, and Harker was gambling that this humbling of Dawn's sons would quench that molten anger. Yet, as the silence between Primarch and Warsmiths stretched, even Harker's certainty of approbation began to falter. Only the creak of armour, the sigh of the suddenly quiescent wind, and the metallic rustling of the Primarch's cloak disturbed the emptiness.
"I was specific in my orders, was I not?"
said Perturabo at last, slipping Forgebreaker back into its shoulder harness. There could be only one Warsmith intended to answer such a question, and Harker rose to his feet, uncertainty making him an orphan amongst his peers.
"My lord, I..."
was all he managed before Perturabo's gauntlet took hold of his gorget and hauled him into the air. Though Harker was encased in the heaviest battle plate of the Legiones Astartes, Perturabo lifted him without difficulty until he was face to face with the steel blue of the Primarch's cold gaze.
"Does Triarch Harker now command the Iron Warriors?"
"No, my lord," gasped Harker. "You and you alone are master of Olympia's sons."
"I see," said Perturabo, as if mulling this over. "And is Triarch Harker aware of this?"
The choking Warsmith nodded, his throat too constricted for words. A welded seam separated from the plastron, and machined rivets snapped from their housing on the gorget. The power to crush such unbreakable plates was beyond imagining.
"And yet he thinks to ignore my orders and devise stratagems of his own," said Perturabo. "An interesting interpretation of the chain of command, don't you think?"
Harker drew a breath as Perturabo's grip loosened a fraction.
"My lord, I saw an opportunity," he said between wheezing gasps. "A chance for victory."
Perturabo nodded as though he had known this all along, but did not release Harker or lower him back to the ground.
"Victory?
The fortress is yours, my lord."
"Not through any design of Triarch Harker,"
snapped Perturabo, turning towards the bloodied warrior standing behind him. Forex didn't recognize him, but he had the look of a killer, the kind of bare-knuckle brawler you'd want at your side in the hellstorm of a breach or the close-quarters bloodbath of a boarding action. Perturabo dropped Harker and gestured to the warrior to step forwards.
"This is Kroger, and he is all your grand plan saw to the ramparts alive," said the Primarch, gripping the cratered curves of the warrior's shoulder guards. "The lives of fighting men were wasted while you watched from a gun battery below. I expect more from my Warsmiths, Harker, especially one of the Trident. I expect discipline and loyalty, but most of all I expect an unbending obedience to the orders I have given."
Forex awaited the blow that would crush the life from Harker, the way it had been mashed out of Barossus. But it never came. Instead, Perturabo reached out and took hold of Harker's shoulder guard with his left hand. With his right, he ripped the plastron from Harker's chest with a single wrenching tear. Sparks, cables, and electroconductive fluids drizzled from the damage. The breastplate clanged to the ground, but Perturabo wasn't done. Peace by piece, the Primarch tore Harker's armour from his body, dropping the sundered plates at his feet like shed skin. Every component was ungently removed until Harker stood much reduced in his torn body glove, with ruptured connector tubes and lank ropes of chemshunts dangling where they had snapped.
"You are unfit to wear this armour, Harker," said Perturabo. "From iron cometh strength, from strength cometh will cometh faith, from faith cometh honour, from honour cometh iron. You have shown that you possess none of these qualities. You are the rust that eats at the metal, a failed cog that must be removed from the body of the machine before its damage spreads."
"My lord, please," began Harker,
but an icy glare from the Primarch withered his tongue.
"From this moment, you are no longer a Triarch," said Perturabo. "Each blade of the Trident needs to be as solid and unbending as the hand that wields it. And you are weak, Harker."
Harker shook his head in mute denial as his world crashed down around him. And Forex couldn't help a small smile tugging at the corner of his thin lips. He had never believed Harker worthy of a place in the Trident, but had wisely kept his opinion to himself.
"You are stripped of all rank, and are now simply a warrior of the 23rd Grand Battalion,"
said Perturabo.
You will stand in the fighting ranks, a battle brother like any other. Get out of my sight. You are dismissed.
Harker blanched at this terrible punishment, and Forex wondered if he might attack Perturabo in his despair, but it seemed the disgraced Triarch lacked even the spine for that final escape from shame. Harker turned and marched away, a broken man whose every hope and dream of ambition had been crushed forever. Perturabo returned his attention to his senior warsmiths, each one now smelling the sickly scent of opportunity. With Golg dead at Fal, and Harker disgraced, Forex felt the strength of Toramino and Falk's ambition.
It seems my trident is two members short, said Perturabo, loosing a breath that looked like it had been held in his lungs for years. And with that exhalation, a burden seemed to lift from the Primarch, as though the mordancy that had settled upon him after killing the boarders on the Iron Blood went with it.
Forex rose to his feet, knowing their obeisance was done.
"We are ready to serve," said Barb and Falk, standing with the rest of the warsmiths.
"I am your humble servant, my lord," added Toramino. "Honoured veteran, proud son, and trusted warrior."
Perturabo smiled his mortician's smile and said,
"The Phoenician and his army of debauchers will be making planetfall within hours, and I need the trident at my side when he comes. Forex, who would you suggest as suitable replacements for your fallen comrades?"
Forex had been waiting for this, and though there were many warsmiths in the Fourth Legion, only a very few had the will required to stand alongside the Primarch. Dargron had perished in the last violent spasms of Fal, and the Primarch had dispatched Varric and his grand battalion to destinations unknown in the wake of that battle. Both had been groomed to be future Triarchs, but Forex knew what answer was required of him at this moment.
"Warsmiths Toramino and Falk would make fine warriors of the Trident," said Forex. "You wish strength and power at your side, and both possess such qualities in abundance."
Perturabo nodded, as though considering this answer.
"On any other day, I would have agreed with you wholeheartedly, Forex," he said, looking to the sky with a throaty chuckle. "But today is not a day like any other."
Forex was unsure of the Primarch's meaning and kept silent as Perturabo stood before Barb and Falk and placed his hands upon his head in benediction. Though huge, even by Legiones Astartes standards, Falk was dwarfed by Perturabo's bulk.
"Barb and Falk, you will become one of my Triarchs," said Perturabo, and Falk hammered his fist into his palm once again.
But if Toramino expected the same honour, his hopes of elevation were dashed by the Primarch's next words.
"Toramino, you are a fine warsmith, but no one commands the Storbizashk like you," said Perturabo. "I want new blood in the Trident, a fresh voice to shake the dust from our complacency."
"My lord," said Toramino, his disbelief plain, "I do not understand."
The Primarch hauled to his side the bloody warrior who'd fought his way over the walls.
"Kroger will take command of the 23rd Grand Battalion," said Perturabo. "He will be the third blade of my trident."